What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him by the likeness of his death, we shall be also by the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin, for he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once, but the life that he liveth unto God. Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lusts thereof. Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But thanks be to God, that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye presented your members as servants to uncleanliness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit then had ye at that time in the things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, look, if you have your Bibles, or even if you don't, there's just simply one little verse I want to share with you tonight from the book of Romans. It's simple to understand. You may even be able to remember it. You know it off by heart. Even if you've never heard it, you won't forget it after this night. So simple. This is the word. It's from verse 26, which was read to us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Now, how relevant do you want to be? It couldn't be, could it, more apt. For the wages. Everybody's on about wages. Strikes on wages. The trains are stopping because of wages. Teachers are on strike because of wages. Nurses, surgeons, doctors. It always fascinates me, lawyers. And even if you're not on strike because of wages, you're sitting in front of your TV sometimes and you're thinking something like this: what is possibly wrong with the wages of a lawyer? I've never met a poor lawyer. Forgive me if there's a lawyer here tonight. But the point is this. I've never met a poor one. And in your life, you've thought about this yourself. Perhaps you've had been in employment, and you look back over your life and you think to yourself, well, to be honest with you, I wasn't paid a bad wage. I had quite a good job, and I did quite well out of it. And the wages I had were, you know, amenable, and I'm thankful for it. Maybe that you look back and you think of the wages and you thought, oh, that man I worked for, how tight was he? And look where I am this day. There's wages, the minimum wage, and all the rest of it. Well, I want you just to think of this for tonight. The wages, the wages. The Bible tells us very simply that there are wages for everything that we do in life which is not right. And actually, when it speaks of the wages of sin, it's not only those things that we do, but actually, it's even things that we don't do. I know there'll be those who say, well, I've never worked in life, but if you've lived, then you know this, you have done those things which are going to be paid. There's that little line within the confession which says, to forgive us our sins of omission, as well as those sins of commission. And even though we say we have not done anything, let me assure you, the very fact you've not done anything, and you've not given to the poor, and you've passed by someone, and you never helped when you should, the Bible tells us, you know, every day there are wages for sin, for what we do or don't do. And I assure you, there's coming a day, and no one's going to be complaining about their wages. Some will be saying perhaps there's too much, but no one's going to be complaining that there is too little. And what I'd like just simply to do for you tonight, very simply, that no one in this place could go from you being mistaken. I want to talk to you about bad wages. And I want to talk to you about a good deal. Bad wages and a good deal. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. When I offer this offer to you this evening, it couldn't be plainer. There's something that you work for, and it's bad wages. And there's a gift which God wants to give you. And it stands here in contrast. So it's as easy and as simple. And yet I know at the end of this night, and I hope not, there'll be those of you who still won't take that deal, which is a no-brainer, that somehow you won't accept that wonderful gift and that offer of salvation. Let me explain it for a moment of where you find this text. It's written by the Apostle Paul, who's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's writing to those who are Christians at Rome. And he's writing to them, and he writes this verse because he knows that they know the reality of this word. Now, every one of us in this place knows tonight the reality of the first half of this verse. Now, there is no one here tonight who doesn't know about the wages of sin. Every one of us, in one way or another, knows the sting of death, knows the pain sometimes of pleasure, knows what those things we've done wrong in our lives have brought to us. Every one of us has done something which instead of giving us the joy we look for, has only brought us shame and sorrow and misery and distress, and has given us things which we were looking for something else, and what we found was this. It brought into our lives those things which are simply we wish we could get off with and get away with. People knew that. But these people knew also something else. They knew of the message which had been given, the wonderful message, you know, the message of God's gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they came and they heard that message of the Maker, the Creator, the God of this world, who has one son and has given him to this world as a precious gift, that you who believe in him may have everlasting life. And Paul writes to them because they've known that. And they knew that that moment that they came to Jesus Christ, something changed in their lives. That's what that chapter was all about. They realized that once they were living under the master and the lordship of sin, and now as you find here, they've come to know the blessing and the liberty and the power of that new life which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And although he's talking to Christians, I want to put it to every one of us here tonight. Every one of us. I mean, some of you have gone shopping and you come home and you say, well, what else could I do? The bargain was so great, I just had to purchase it. I had to get it. And so as we come then this evening, that what you've got here, I say again, surely this should be a no-brainer in your life. Wages, gift. Sin, God. Death, life. It's as simple as that. And let me just then speak to you about then that contrast for a moment. When it says the wages of sin, actually, when you live life, there's one thing that you learn about life. The whole of life is hard work, is it? Hard work. Life can be hard work. And for many people, even trying to enjoy life, it's tough. The stress of it, just on those holidays. Sorry. But you know what it's like? You've got to get away. You need the rest. You've got to do those things. And yet at the end of the day, you feel to yourself that it's almost killed you. You know something of that. And you do know what it's been like in your life trying to seek for those things which would bring you happiness and bring you joy has only brought you the misery. It's been hard work. Wages are what you work for. In that little hymn that we sang together, and those from Narberth know, it was a favourite of someone who lived in Narberth, and it was very interesting that he picked this very hymn for his funeral. And when that line always then stands out, when all my earthly journey bringeth naught but weary hours, and in grasping for life's roses, thorns I find instead of flowers, if I've Jesus, Jesus only. And what you find is this, is that in your life, in grasping for those flowers, it is then those thorns that you have found. Now look, sin always brings death. It always happens. I mean, if you were to take the account of the Bible just to show this for a moment, what happens is in the very beginning, when God made this world, he made it good, he made it pure, he made it without sin. And there was a moment in the garden where God then speaks to the Adam and Eve. And he says to Adam and Eve, he says these very words. He says, the day that you eat of that fruit, that day you shall die. And what happens then is this. There comes the moment in the history of this world where Adam ate of that very fruit. And what takes place is that day, although Adam lived for hundreds of years after, that very day, Adam died. He died spiritually. He died in that separation, which is from God. He died in that moment, in that sin that he committed. It brought that separation, that he was no longer in fellowship with God, and he found himself hiding. There was a spiritual death which came within him the very moment. I got news for you about the wages of sin. The wages of sin are not paid weekly or monthly. They're not paid by the hour. They're paid by the deed. By the deed. And even those perhaps of you who are Christians, if you'd only hear it at the moment, every sin that we're committed to, those things that take place within our lives, do you know it blinds our eyes, it deadens our heart, so we can no longer see and receive the great love of God which we have known. And so it is that sin, the wages of it, is death. But not only that, you know that that day Adam died morally. Something happened. That his mind, his thinking, the way he acted, even with Eve and the rest, there was something that took place where there was a death in his understanding of what was right and what was wrong. Remember that. Sin always brings death. I was only speaking a number of weeks ago. I was having a conversation, and it was with someone who had entered into an alternative lifestyle. And I'd spoken to the person before, and I would be straight to you as I was straight with this very person, and they've nodded their heads every time, knowing the truth. You've got to get out. You've got to make that step. You've got yourself in this world in which we live, the ideas that people express, you found yourself indulging in these things, and now you're trapped. And they know they're trapped. And they can't get out. They can't seem to escape. I said, you've got to get stronger. You've got to take that step. And they're nodding, and they're nodding. And I said, look, it's going to be like this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I say, look, every day that you spend, you get weaker and weaker. You've come to a place where you no longer know what is right or wrong. You don't know what to do. And they're nodding, and they're nodding. And on their breath, what was the smell of vodka? Because I can assure you, in this lifestyle which is taken, their hopes are dead. Their dreams are dead. Their life is dead. And they know it. And I said, that smell in your breath, and the drugs you're taking, you know why? You've got to deaden yourself to cope in that place you find yourself. Sin brings death to people's lives. And you find it, and it knows. But not only that, there's something else about the wages of sin. The wages of sin, they bring death, don't they? Even physically. Every one of us will die. Every one of us, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And every one of us has sinned, and all who are of Adam know of this within our lives. And those things that you do, and those things that take place in your life, always have a payment. Anything that you've done which is wrong never comes free. There's no such thing as a free meal in this world. Every step and decision you've made in your life to live without God and to live in things which you know are not right has caused you grief and sorrow. And in the end, it brings this death into our lives, which I want to speak to you about. Because it's not only spiritual death, it's not only moral death, not only physical death. Do you know there's another death? The Bible speaks of a second death, a death which hangs upon its last breath, a death which is always in existence, a death which never dies. There's a final wages which then is going to be paid. The wages of sin is death. Now, when we were doing the extension, I learned a few things. And one of the things, because it was so expensive, the most expensive toilets you can ever, ever build. And it was up into the hundreds and thousands of pounds. And what he used to do was this, is that because it was so big, is that the builders would have to be paid in these installments, either monthly or perhaps even three monthly, there would be a bill which was coming. But even though there was a bill every month, there was one bill which was at the end of the job. It wasn't going to get paid till a year after. That's how it works. They do the job, they get paid, but then finally, there's that final installment for the wages of their work. Now, in your life, that's something what's happened in your life, is that you've worked, and you've worked hard, and you've paid into your pension, and even now that you're retiring, what you're doing, you're being paid for the wages that you worked within your life. And now you're having then the remuneration back from all that. Look, when a person then comes in this world, you've got to believe this, that although you may know something of the pain and the sorrow of what the things we do wrong, one day there's a final payment. And God says that payment will be the ultimate separation, which is from God, in a fire, in a lake, where the worm doesn't perish. I know, but the wages are going to be. And you believe that. You do believe it. I know you do. You don't believe for one moment, you, that Putin won't get his wages. You don't believe that Hitler, in that bunker, when he took his life, won't get his wages. And you don't believe that those who've got away in the crimes of this world, that somehow they won't get their wages. No, there's one thing about sin, always pays the wages. Bad wages. That's the bad news. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is this. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a no-brainer. Really now, a no-brainer. There is wages you work, and there is a gift which is free. And all you need to do is to receive this word. Receive the gift that God has given. As straight and as clear as one can make it. Look, don't ever get confused. God's not asking you for anything tonight. He's not expecting you to pay one little fraction of the gift which he has come to give. And I know this sounds all upside down, but you know you can't earn it through any chapel going, through any prayers, through any Bible reading, through any good works. There is absolutely, it is not of works at all. There is a gift which God has given to this world, and the gift of God is in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave him this night that you could have everlasting, eternal life. And the Lord Jesus confirms that. I'm just going to give you one verse. It's found in John chapter 4. Jesus was talking to a woman who was at the well, and it's a wonderful little verse where there's talk about drink. She's got the pail to draw from the well. And then Jesus speaks to her. And he says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Someone says, why did you become a Christian, Chris? I tell you why. Just wanted everlasting life. Someone told me it was possible. I could get it. It was given free. All you've got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus, and there is life everlasting. Now, let me explain this to you in reverse order to what we just had. Everlasting life begins the moment you come and receive the Lord Jesus. Eternal life is not just simply when you go to heaven. Eternal life comes the very moment that you come and to him and believe in him. Now, the Bible tells us we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. But then comes a moment where you're quickened and you're made alive. And the moment you come to the Lord Jesus, there's the moment that a spiritual life begins to work within you. It's eternal life. The Lord Jesus prayed this prayer. I thank you that you have given them now eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. And comes a point in one's experience where you come to Jesus, and that moment you will know something of life everlasting, of that fellowship and the knowledge and experience that you have with God. Can't really explain it. You have something of that kiss of life from God on your dead soul. Where you were dead, somehow there's been an injection within you that's made you alive to things you were never alive to before. And you've got a whole new living all in front of you. You've got a God to love. You've got a God to be with. You've got the things of God about you. You've got all that, and you know it. It is everlasting life. And you can have that. You can have it tonight. Simply accepting that gift. Don't have to do anything. Just by faith. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? It's a no-brainer, yeah. I thought so. I thought it was clear as crystal. And not only that, shall I tell you what he does then? He gives you a life which you've never had before. It's amazing how it works. Throughout your experience, you then begin to live and you realize why God made you, what he made you for, the purpose in your life, to praise and honor him, where he's put you, everything begins. You'll have a life which you never experienced before. Now, I know people talk in this kind of way. They've got a great family life. Well, some haven't, okay? Jesus can give you that. There are those who have got a great kind of fulfilled life. Well, I tell you, God can come and give you a real fulfilled life. I know we talk like this, and I understand people go through stages. Please, it happens to us. Terrible things happen. The marriage is dead. Is dead. That's the right word to use. Dead. Jesus used it speaking of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son came home, it says that the father spoke to the elder brother and said these words, "Your brother was dead, and now he's alive, and he's come back." And so it is in your experience that you who are dead to that whole life which you didn't have before is now then made alive. He does that. It's this life which he gives. But there's more. Is that when you come to him, you will never die. John chapter 11 and the famous words. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And the person who comes to believe in the Lord Jesus, you can say, "Well, look, I've been to many a funeral and my loved one has passed away." No, in Jesus Christ, they are more alive than they've ever been. And you know, although you've buried them in the grave, there comes a day where there will be physical life to our mortal bodies. And we will rise again. But that doesn't end there. That's eternal life. And I don't know how to explain it to you. But there is this life which will then be with God. It will be in light. It will be in love. It will be in bliss. It will be forever. It will be of joy. It will be of peace. It will be of rest which we couldn't understand. It'll be a life where every aspect of our faculties where we failed here on earth will be fulfilled there in heaven, being made perfect with him, and it will be with a God who never dies. Everlasting life. It's a gift to you. It's a gift. And you don't have to work. Now, you say, "What? That is, that's the deal." And it is the deal. You say, "No, that's not the, you know, it's a deal. That's the word of God. That's the promise he's given. That's his word which he's spoken. And he says, and he assures you, you do that. Simply coming to him, that's what you'll know. But I do know this, that there'll be those, perhaps even in this place, that will go out of here tonight, and as mad as that may be, will not take hold of this deal. Have you ever thought of that? Why it is? Is it that the message wasn't plain enough? Is it that no one understood? No, everybody understands. I'll tell you why. It's because what the passage says to us, there is a master called sin, and he holds you in its grip. The last thing he wants you to do is to make that step towards God and the things of him. He's a terrible master. He has dominion over you. And although you know that every time you've gone his steps, he has only brought forth to you misery and heartache and shame. But somehow, I know the message given to me. I can't break it off. But here's the answer. There it is. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it comes a moment in your life where you believe there's another Lord, and you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe he's Lord God, and you realize he's got powers, and even though you know that you can't even perhaps come yourself, you cry out to him, because eternal life, the gift given, is in Jesus Christ. And you come to Jesus Christ as one's Lord, and you know him. And that's just as clear and as simple as one can make it. And you can know of this great deal, this good deal, which he is prepared to give each and every one here tonight. Look, we need that gospel, don't we? We need it explained to us so simply time and time again. And it couldn't be simpler, could it? The contrast couldn't be greater. The consequences couldn't be greater. The differences. Do you know tonight, would it be that you just know? If I ever asked you the question, are you going to heaven? You say, of course I am. Because there was a deal given. If I believed in Jesus, I have everlasting life.